السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم صدق الله العظيم. All praise and all thanks only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again has given us this beautiful opportunity, this opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like He has allowed us to witness this Mubarak day of Sha'ban in the house of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Jumu'ah. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of seeing many more days of Jumu'ah. And we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us tawfiq to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And we also make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the last day of our earthly life, the day of Jumu'ah. When it comes towards the end of the financial year, 28th of February, people already are planning, and astute businessmen will always start thinking that now the financial year end is coming, that I need to plan for my stock take, I need to plan to see that all my sales are in order. In other words, if there are few big invoices that need to be processed, an intelligent businessman will say that I'd rather delay it, I don't want my sales to go too high. Oh, I can afford to bring more sales in. He'll want to bring the invoice in. He'll want to see that his VAT is correct. Sometimes you hear people saying this also, that my donations that have been given for the year, I've got enough Section 18A, so now I'll have my donations go after the year end, 1st of March, etc. So people do some type of mental planning. They do some type of financial planning when the financial year end comes. But in a Muslim's life, there's one date that is even bigger, even more important than the 28th of February, and that date is the 1st of Ramadan. And how intelligent is an intelligent person who's planning for that day, that 1st of Ramadan that is coming, is if, for example, if that is his zakat date, he's already planning to see is my zakat in order. If that is not his zakat date, he still is cognizant of the fact that is my zakat up to date, this Mubarak month is coming, the Mubarak month of Ramadan is coming, are my dealings correct? Is my interaction with people correct? Is my ruhani, is my spiritual side of light correct before I'm hitting this Mubarak day of the 1st of Ramadan? So automatically there's some planning and there's some preparation for the person who is intelligent, because indeed this is a very great event, the 1st of Ramadan that is coming. An intelligent person starts preparing for that day. Ulama explain under this hadith, may yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqqihu fi deen, that who Allah Ta'ala wishes, Allah Ta'ala wishes good for, Allah Ta'ala gives him a deep understanding of deen. So one explanation that ulama give is, what is this deep understanding of deen? That before a person does anything, before he does anything, he keeps akhirat in front. Akhirat samne rakkar cheez karna hai. Before he does anything, he's thinking that akhirat is in front of me, that I'll have to answer Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah for what I'm doing. I will have to give an account for what I am doing. A person is keeping this in front of him before he is doing anything. That is a person that has got a true understanding of deen. So like that, when a person is preparing for the month of Ramadan, the days are coming now from Shaban, he's thinking that how will this affect my Ramadan? If I'm going to be engaging in guna, I'm going to continue on sin, then is this going to affect my Ramadan or not? If I'm going to continue with this ghibat, with this chatting that I'm doing, is this going to affect my month of Ramadan or not? He's already thinking what impact his actions now are going to have on the Mubarak month of Ramadan. In one hadith in Musnad Ahmad, on the authority of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, he narrates his hadith. He said, Ja'a rajulu ila nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqal, idhni wa ojis. That one person came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, give me advice, but keep that advice short. What a nice way of putting it across. Actually, it's for weak people like us. Sometimes the Sahaba would say that we would get happy when Bedouins would come to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questions, because the way they would put the questions, sometimes we couldn't put the questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in that manner. So anyway, this person had come up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, give me advice, but keep that advice short. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him advice. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ. That when you stand up for your salah, perform your salat as though that salat is the salat that you're bidding farewell to. In other words, it's as though that is your last salat. When you bid somebody farewell, what it is? It means you're seeing that person now for the last time. That person is going away. It's as though you're bidding that salat farewell. This is your last salat. How will a person perform salat? For example, if this is his last salat, this Jummah salat, and after this he knows for sure he's going to pass away. Either he's going to get assassinated or something is going to happen to him. He knows for sure. How will that quality of that Jummah salah be? Will it be like every other salah or will it be a different salah? This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that let your salah be as though it is your last salat. Person won't worry about checking his phone before. Person won't worry about his business transaction. All his concentration, his focus, his mind, his tawajjuh, his diyan will be in that salat. So this is a message for us. They don't only apply this to salat, even apply this to this Mubarak month of Ramadan that is coming. Think to ourselves that this may be the last month of Ramadan that we are seeing. Therefore, we have to spend this Ramadan differently. This can't be like an ordinary Ramadan that just passes. A person does, when you see a person that is preparing for a marathon, then what does the person do? Long before the marathon, he starts his training. He starts getting his times right. He sees how many kilometers he's doing in how many minutes. He gets all that preparation right. He gets the rhythm right. He gets everything right. Then on that day, he feels that he's prepared for this marathon that he's going to run. Similarly, we're going into the month of Ramadan. We can't expect suddenly that Quran Sharif, that Tilawat, that one khatam at minimum that we're going to try to finish in the month of Ramadan, suddenly it's going to come right. There needs to be a preparation before the month of Ramadan. So I already get into the rhythm. I start practicing now reading Quran Sharif, so that when the month of Ramadan comes, I'm already in the motion. I'm already moving with my Quran Sharif. That practice has started from now. A person already started practicing reading long rakats of Nafil Salah. So when the Tarawih Salah starts, then the person is not getting irritable that why the namaz is taking so long. He's actually enjoying that Tarawih Salah that he's reading, because he already got himself into that motion. So this longer, broader application of this hadith, فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ, it's as though, think as though this may be our last Ramadan. We don't know if we're going to see another Ramadan. We're already preparing for it. Intelligent person, what he does, he's got a timetable in place. That Ramadan comes, let me have my times in place. At the bare minimum, there shouldn't be any salah in the month of Ramadan that I'm missing with Takbir-e-Ula. I must be early in the masjid, so already I got those times in place. Then I must fit time in to read my Quran Sharif. I must fit time in to bring more time to be spending in the masjid. Already he's planning, not planning for himself, he's planning for his staff also. They are also insan, they are also human being. Let me see how I can give them more time off in the month of Ramadan. So whatever time off I'm giving them, they are doing good deeds, I'm also getting rewarded for this. This is the planning that an intelligent person does. So anyway, this was the first part of the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given this person, that إِذَا قُمْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ فَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ مُوَدِّعِينَ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told this person, وَلَا تُكَلِّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. That don't say anything, don't speak anything that tomorrow you will have to apologize for. In other words, be very careful of your speech. The speech is something that if a person is careful of, it will save him from many, many problems. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't say anything that tomorrow you will have to apologize. In other words, think before you speak. Be very careful. And the speaking is not only limited to a person speaking with his tongue, it's also speaking on the phone, chatting away. When a person is tempted to say something, ask myself that do I need to say, do I have to say it? If I have to say it, then I should say it. Otherwise, better I don't speak. Especially the Mubarak month of Ramadan is coming. The more a person stays away from the groups, the more a person stays away from the chats, the more intelligent the person is. Not only is this thing stealing a person's mind and attention away from what work he's got to do, but also it's involving him in futility. Why does he need to listen to other people's stories? Why does he need to listen to other people's problems? Why does he need to listen to other panchat that he doesn't need to get involved in? So therefore Rasulullah ﷺ giving pertinent advice. If we can bring this advice in before the month of Ramadan, we'll have a different month of Ramadan. وَلَا تُكَلِّمْ بِكَلَامٍ تَعْذِرُ مِنْهُ غَدًا. Don't speak anything that tomorrow you will have to apologize for. Tomorrow you'll have to excuse yourself for. Tomorrow you'll have to be sorry for. That why did I say this? Recently there was an incident of one great-grandfather, that in the spur of the moment, he lost himself and he gave his wife three talaqs. Now she's the great grandmother of the family. Can you imagine what he did to that whole family? Spur of the moment, three talaqs. That marriage now is irretrievably broken down. There's no way of reconciling that marriage. What did this person do? Just lost himself. He said those words that he can't take back. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving very, very pertinent advice. Don't say anything that tomorrow you'll have to apologize for, tomorrow you'll have to be sorry for. Be very careful of what you say. Generally, you'll find when a person is careful of what he says, then he'll be careful of other things. Because one of the easiest things for a person to do is speak. Speaking is for free, speaking is cheap. The muscle of the tongue doesn't get tired, he can just speak and speak. A person is doing bodybuilding, he's doing some press-ups, after 30, 40, 50, he's getting tired. Person is doing weightlifting, is getting tired, but the tongue muscle doesn't get tired. He can speak and speak and speak. Whether he got roza or he doesn't have roza, this muscle doesn't get tired. So therefore Rasulullah ﷺ is warning us. So person is careful about this muscle, he's careful about the tongue, then he'll be careful about many other things in his life. So this is just a example, or this is just a training ground for us, that you get your speech right, you'll get many other things right in your life. And now the third advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave this person, he said, wajma'il iyas mimma fi aidin nas. That don't have the slightest hope, don't have the slightest desire of those possessions that other people have. What possessions they got, Allah Ta'ala has given them. That was there in their taqdeer. Don't even look at it, don't even desire it. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explains that how does a person bring contentment in his life? What is a recipe to bring contentment in a person's life? Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Unzuru ila man hu asfala minkum." That look at those people that are less fortunate than you, less financially fortunate than you. Look at the poor people, and then see how much shukr you'll make for what Allah Ta'ala has given you. Recently, I was in Pakistan in an ijtima. So, in front of me, I see a person that looks like a very, very pious person. White beard, old man. He had come with a crutch, because he had only had one leg. One leg he had, so he came to the crutch. Can you imagine walking in a crowd of thousands of people? He came there so nicely, he put that stick down of it, that crutch that he had, he put it down. And he started his Nafil Salat long before the Farad Salah. And I'm looking at this person with one leg, not sitting on the chair, standing and reading long rakats of Nafil Namaz. Old man. And when he went down also, so slowly he went down, he grabbed onto that stick and he went into sajda. And then when he came up also to help himself, he caught onto the crutch and he woke up again. But he didn't sit and read salah. He made sure that salah was right. So when you start looking at people that are less fortunate, then we'll even start making shukr for the legs that Allah Ta'ala has given us. We'll start making shukr for the hands that Allah Ta'ala has given us, for the eyes that Allah Ta'ala has given us. A person won't have time to complain about other things. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum, wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum." Don't look at those people that have got more than you, those people that are more affluent than you, got more vehicles than you, go for more holidays than you, travel more than you, got better houses than you. Don't look at them at all. Look at those that are less fortunate than you. In other words, look at the poor. You'll get the tawfiq of making shukr. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying. Wajma'il iyas mimma fi aidin nas. They'd have absolutely no hope in what people, in the possessions of people. And if a person does this, then Allah Ta'ala's system is such that people will love him and people will honor him. They'll realize that this person got no interest in our assets. He got no interest in our financial affairs. He's got absolutely no desire for it. They'll actually start loving this person. And remember something, that Allah Ta'ala gives izzat, respect, and Allah Ta'ala gives zillat and disrespect. It doesn't mean that a man has got a lot that he'll have respect. Overnight Allah Ta'ala can change a person's condition of respect to one that a person is completely disrespected. How many times we see this happening? And it doesn't mean that a person doesn't have financial well-being. He can't do things and he can't get things done. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to get done, it will get done. Recently, our Jamaat was in Cape Town. So one person mentioned to me, this person is very closely linked up to the Saudi embassy. So he was telling me that a few years back, that this Saudi embassy were giving something known as a royal visa for Hajj. In other words, it was a government initiative to give a royal visa for Hajj to those people that are deserving. So the embassy had told him, that this person was narrating to me, he's telling me that the embassy had told him that find somebody that is very deserving so that we can send him for Hajj. So he said, I was thinking to myself that which person is deserving to go. And then I remembered that there's one person that every Friday evenings, he stands on the side of the road and he thumbs a lift to go for that Shab Guzari, for the program they have on the Friday evenings. So he said, I see this man always thumbing a lift, going to the masjid. And Saturday after the program, after Ishraq again, he's getting a lift from there and he's going back to his house. So I thought to myself, this person is so meticulous, he's so particular, he's standing, he doesn't have even taxi fare to pay for taxi, he's thumbing a lift and he's going, maybe this person is the most worthy person of going for Hajj. So he said, we approached him, and he was a person, he said, people would think he's majzoob. Majzoob means people would think that he's a little bit not right in his head, the way he would continue, the way he would carry out himself. Absolutely no interest in the world he had. So anyways, I approached him and he said, yes, I'd like to go for Hajj. And then he was so excited, he's telling everyone he's going for Hajj. Now he said, even the people around started really laughing at him, that this man got no money for taxi fare. He can't afford to take a taxi and come to the masjid. How is he going to go for Hajj? But he was so excited and he's telling everyone that I'm going for Hajj. So anyway, he says the day came when it was now his time to depart. So one of our brothers went to fetch him from his house. And went to fetch him, you see, he's coming with all like checkers packets. He got all his clothes in the packets and his towel in the packet. He said, where's your bag? He said, no, I don't even have a bag. So they said, okay, what we'll do is we'll go and buy one bag for you. Quickly they went and bought a bag. They put all his packets in a bag and they took it. So now this person who's telling me is telling me that I was traveling on the same flight. I was flying business class. This man was flying first class. He was flying even in front of me. He said when we landed there at the Jeddah airport, then they came in a limousine with sirens, with flashing lights. They came to pick up this person. We still had to go through and clear immigration and we had to go through the normal process. Yeah, he had a limousine to pick him up. And he didn't go to the most exclusive hotel in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He went to the king's palace. He was the guest of the king. So he said Allah Ta'ala had given him a 5-star Hajj, even better than our Hajj. A man who couldn't afford taxi fare to go to the masjid. He said shortly after that Hajj, this person came back and he passed away. Allah Ta'ala had taken him away. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to give, Allah Ta'ala gives. He doesn't need the things of this world. Therefore Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us, Wajma'il iyas mimma fi aidin nas. Don't have hopes in what people have. Have your hopes in Allah. Allah will make it happen, and the way He'll make it happen, sometimes you can never understand. My time has run out. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of practicing on this beautiful advices of this hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.